Romans chapter number 8. If you're reading through your Bible, you've got the zone up here on the chart. If you're reading through it one time in the year, you're going to be around 2 Samuel chapter 22 to 24. And if you're reading the other program to read is to read through Paul's epistle 16 times. And you're now back starting over in Romans 14 through 16. That's, I think, the fourth time through, right? Maybe even the fifth time. That's the fifth time, yeah. So you're making some good progress here. And as we've said before, that if you'll read through Paul's epistle 16 times this year, you'll have a really good grasp on what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. So it absolutely is worth taking your time to do so. All right, let's open our Bibles again this morning to Romans chapter number 8. We have been studying verse by verse through the book of Romans. And as we've gotten to chapter number 8 now, we're slowing down just a little bit here to make sure that we can appreciate what's going on here. Look with me at verse 8. Start with me at verse 8. We're going to try to cover this morning down to verse 13. Start at verse 9. He says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you again for the time that we can gather this morning here as a local family of believers to study your word and to allow your word to penetrate into our inner man so that we could understand how it is that you are working in our lives today. We do ask for insight and wisdom as we do so, and that the service in our lives to you would indeed be to your glory and honor. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right, a couple of real important things to keep in mind as we go through this section. Remember, we're trying to review a little bit each time so that we can remember what we talked about, in this case, 2 weeks ago. Because remember, last week we kind of detoured from this chapter. We talked about, who remembers what we talked about last week? Easter, that's right. Nobody else remember that one? Come on, or did I get everybody in trouble last week? Okay, I think I probably did, right? So, by the way, have you all figured out the answer to the question, what does Jesus and the Easter Bunny have in common? Did y'all figure that one out? Let me know when you figure that one out, okay? Anyway, so it was 2 weeks ago when we were here in this section in Romans chapter number 8. We want to pick up here again today, this morning, a couple of real important things to appreciate. First of all, notice at verse 12, what's the second word there? Therefore, brethren. In the context here, Paul is talking to believers. Paul is not just talking to mankind as a whole. Paul is specifically talking to believers. What do I mean by that? We're talking about simply someone who has trusted the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for their personal individual salvation. If you'll notice back at verse 9, notice how he says it at verse 9. He says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now look at the next sentence. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," what does the next statement say there? Okay, now that we don't want to too quickly run over that verse. It's real important that we appreciate what the Apostle Paul is saying there. And it's pretty important. It's pretty serious. If you don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. Now, is that good or is that bad? That's a problem, okay? I know that we live in this world where people have the concept that, well, everybody is a child of God, everybody belongs to God. The Bible doesn't teach that, and the Bible doesn't agree with that. That verse is pretty clear that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you do not personally have the indwelling Holy Spirit, then you do not belong to God. Now, that's not good. That's bad news. when Paul goes back down at verse 12, therefore, brethren, you see, he's talking to believers. He's talking to those that have the Spirit of God. Now, the question obviously comes up, well, how do I know whether I have the Spirit of God? And if I don't, how do I get the Spirit of God? Right? Those are valid questions, right? Can you get the Spirit of God by paying money? That doesn't work. You know, after all, if you had to pay money to get the Spirit of God, it'd be way more than any of us ever had. Even Bill Gates couldn't do anything like that. But you don't get the Spirit of God by paying money. Do you get the Spirit of God by promising God that you'll never ever sin again? No, that's just another lie. Okay, don't you know, make the concept that you're going to promise God that you're always going to do better the rest of your life. God doesn't, you know, those kind of nonsense promises don't make any sense. Well, do you get the Spirit of God by becoming religious? No. Religion has never been the way to be right in the eyes of God. Do you get the Spirit of God by doing good deeds? No. You know, which deeds would you do and have you done them? And can you keep doing them the rest of your life? You can't. You don't get the Spirit of God by any works. Scripture says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But by, according to His mercy, He saved us. See, God saves a person not by works, not by us making promises, not by us committing, not by us doing, not by any of that, but simply by faith alone in the finished work of Christ alone. When we talk about the finished work of Christ, of course, we're talking about when He hung on the cross, shed His blood there as the payment for our sins, and said, "It is what? Finished." When the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross and said, "It is finished," He absolutely paid the full 100% price for all of our sins, all of my sins personally. Not just the sins of the world out there, for me personally, for you personally. And the split second that you and I in time trust that message, we trust that information, we abandon confidence in ourselves and what we can do to please or impress God, instead, we transfer that confidence to what Christ did on the cross. That split second, that's when you get saved. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you and will never leave you, by the way, okay? That's when you have all of your sins forgiven. That's when you belong to God for how long? Well, as long as God lives. That's how long you belong to God, okay? And that's, of course, forever. So it's important that when the Apostle Paul says here in verse 9, look at verse 9 again, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, guess what? He is none of His." Can I ask you to do something this morning? We're not passing the plate, okay? We're not going to tell you to stand up and come forward. Listen, if you don't have the Spirit of God, why not? After all, it's a free gift. You like free. Is free good? Free is really good, right? Depending on what it is. And this is good, okay? If you don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit, why not? The indwelling Holy Spirit comes in the moment you trust the blood of Christ. Salvation is truly a free gift of God. No strings attached at all. God doesn't say, "Trust me," and then go perform. God says, "You couldn't perform to get it. You can't perform afterwards. Just trust Him." That'll set you free. That's how you have peace with God. It's a totally free gift. Okay, so as it is, trusting is to believe what He's done for you. Believing is to trust what He did for you. All right, and it truly is good news. And it's interesting that in Romans 8, Paul is talking to believers here, but it's such an important point that he goes back and drives that issue again by reminding the audience he's writing to here. He says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. You're none of his. But that can change that fast. Changes in a split second in the privacy of your own heart the moment you trust Christ for your salvation. So if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, why not trust Him now? And the way you do that is you just, in the privacy of your own heart, you just trust what He did for you on the cross. By the way, Tony, you know, Tony's been going out and passing out tracts on the pier in Oceanside down there. He called me, he was so excited again yesterday. He said, "John, I just got beat up all over the place again just yesterday." He says, "A lot of rejection." He says, "But you know what? A guy got saved." You know, so he's that's four weekends in a row out there he's led somebody to the Lord. Two, 1, 2, 3 weeks in a row now. And but I tell you, poor guy's getting beat up. But you keep Tony in prayers, would you? You keep him in your prayers because it's a real battleground down there. But he couldn't be here this morning. Okay, so let's go on now. So notice what else. The Apostle Paul says at verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay, question. Does he? Yes. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, a number of things happened to you, one of which was the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to indwell you. And that being the case, look at verse 10 now. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life. I'm sure I have an eraser somewhere. I guess I'll use this instead. Let me just erase this here. I want to make sure that you see something here. That verse says the Spirit is life. Okay? The Spirit is life. Go back with me in this same chapter. Go back to verse 2. Look back at verse 2. Notice verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of what? Life in Christ Jesus. Question. If you're in Christ, then do you have life? How come? Because life is in Christ. It's that simple. If you're in Christ, you have His life as a present and an eternal possession. And you're going to have that life as long as Jesus Christ lives. How long is He going to live? He's going to live forever. He died unto sin once. Sin will never take His life again. If you're in Christ, you have life. How come? Because life is in Christ. That's a law. It's as real as the law of gravity. It's eternal. And look at that verse once again at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's life in Christ. If you want life, we're not talking about Adam's life. By the way, what's the problem with Adam's life? What's that? Yeah, it ends. That's called dead. The common denominator that all humanity shares is what? Death. No matter how far you try to run from it, no matter how much money you try to make so you can pay the doctors when you get some disease so you can try to get well, no matter how much money you pay for all the medical and health things, no matter how many push-ups you do and pull-ups you do and running you do, you know what? It still catches up with you. It's caught up with everybody in human history so far. There's only one guy that ever beat it, and he took it on, by the way, and it got him initially. And who was that person? Life in Christ. Christ Jesus. Life in Christ. So when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your personal Savior, you're placed into Christ and life is in Christ. You want eternal life, you must get in Christ. The way to get in Christ is by faith in His finished work. That's wonderful news. The problem with Adam's life is it ends. The solution is life in Christ. Okay? Go back with me, if you would, go back to verse 10. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. When we talk about being a believer, and that the believer never dies, it's important that you understand what we mean by that. Does anybody here today, do you know any believers that have died physically and are with the Lord now? Well, sure you do. So what do we mean then when we say believers never die? We're not denying the reality that sin is in the flesh, that these fleshly bodies die. But there's a different life that we have now that's in us and we're in Christ that never dies. That is life in Christ. When the Apostle Paul says at that verse, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You realize you're just a bunch of walking zombies? Just a bunch of walking dead men? Think about that. Death is out there. It's just, all it is a matter of this second in time to whenever death's going to get your body. Understand that? Yeah. Did you guys hear about that? Really, you talk about a freako accident happened about maybe a month ago. This poor guy, I think it was in North Carolina, this guy's running on the beach. He's got headphones in. Just minding his own business, enjoying the weather on the beach. And the guy got hit by a plane. this plane comes, you know, it lost its power, comes in, and you talk about a freako accident. The guy's minding his own business. He's out there for a morning jog, planning the rest of his day, just have breakfast or whatever, and life is over. Listen, that quick? Listen, you never know when death's going to strike, but you know for sure your physical body's not going to escape it. So sometime from this second and forward, death's going to get your body. No escaping. Unless you're a believer, the only possible escape of physical death is the rapture, by the way, which is also a biblical event that we're all looking forward to and everything. But when Paul says in this verse, he says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But look at the next part of the verse. But the Spirit is life. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you. And that verse that says the Spirit is life because of what? Because of what? Because of righteousness. Listen, God has dealt righteously with sin. When Jesus... Let me ask it this way. Did Jesus Christ ever sin even one time? Not even one time. Thought, word, or deed. And yet He died. How come? Well, it's real simple. When our sins were placed upon Christ, what did the justice of God do? Did the justice of God say, no, wait a minute now. That's my Son. He never ever sinned. Therefore, He cannot die and will not die. Is that what the justice of God did? That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, He hath made Him to be sin, who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When our sin was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the justice of God was poured out upon Him and He died, demonstrating that God's holiness was upheld. God did not stay His hand, even though it was His perfect Son. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. So when that verse says that the Spirit is life because of righteousness, the reason that you and I have life in Christ and that life is the issue is because God has dealt righteously with sin. And, in fact, look at that verse with me over to, look over to 2 Corinthians 5. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Hold your place in Romans 8. We're going to come back. Look over to 2 Corinthians 5. Watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, think about that. When Christ was on the cross, that's verse 19 there, 5:19. If God wasn't imputing the world's trespasses unto the world, and yet Christ died, then who did He impute the world's trespasses to? The one who died, the Lord Jesus Christ. See that there? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, notice, the righteousness of God, where? In Him. When Paul says, back in Romans chapter number 8, go back to Romans chapter number 8, when he says that the Spirit is life because of righteousness, the reason the Spirit is life, He is our life right now, is because God has dealt righteously with sin and we have been made the righteousness of God in Him. Okay, I got a question for you. If you have trusted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, are you righteous? Okay. What about the rest of you? Are you righteous? How righteous are you? You are as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't be confused about that. You don't get puffed up about that, right? Because nothing in this is saying that you and I, that by our efforts, by our goodness, by our works, by our deeds, that there's nothing intrinsic in us is what produced this righteousness. This was the gift of God. Christ is our righteousness. He is our life. So when we ask the question, how righteous are you? Well, you're as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ. But is there any reason to get proud and boastful about that? Not at all. How come? Because it was a gift, completely given freely, based upon the finished work of Christ. See, if we think in terms of, well, look how righteous I am now, what are we thinking? Even to a small degree, we're thinking, well, I deserved it. I'm worthy of it. Sometimes you'll hear people and they'll say things as they're trying to live the Christian life and so forth, and they're trying to express their appreciation of the grace of God. And they say, the grace of God is so amazing, I just don't feel worthy of it. Well, duh! Of course you're not worthy of it. And God doesn't tell you have to be. He doesn't even tell you after you're saved, well, now go try to be worthy of it. You and I are not worthy of the grace of God. We're not worthy of forgiveness of sins. We're not worthy of the love and kindness of God. And God isn't telling us to be. That's an impossible standard. Instead, He says, Christ is all. Life is in Christ. He's the Savior. Rest in Him. You see, if God was telling us that you need to be worthy of this, life would sure be misery, right? Because the bar is way too high. The bar is perfection. Instead, God gives righteousness. He doesn't demand righteousness. He gives it as a free gift. That's a pretty good gift. Let's go on here. Look at Romans chapter number 8 once again. So he says at verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you... Okay, does He? Yes. Well then, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. See how he keeps talking about the Spirit dwells in you, dwells in you, dwells in you, dwells in you. Okay, I've got a question for you. Why is it that the believer has the indwelling Holy Spirit? You ever wonder about that? Why do we as believers, why did God see fit? Why was it necessary for us to have the indwelling Holy Spirit? Not the human spirit, the Holy Spirit. Why was that necessary? Because, number one, life is in Christ. You're not going to have life apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Very good. Keep going along those lines. Why do you have the indwelling Holy Spirit? Some people say, well, we have the Holy Spirit so because we're sealed on the day of redemption. And that's true. And that's vital. But why do we have the indwelling Holy Spirit? Okay. You have Him when you believe. But why do you have Him? Not why in the sense of, well, I trusted, so I got Him, got the Holy Spirit. Okay, you know what? It has to do with service, doesn't it? It has to do with experiencing life in Christ. That's why. It's not the only reason you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit for a number of different reasons. The sealing, the edification, education, and so forth. But in Romans chapter number 8, the reason we have the indwelling Holy Spirit has something to do with experiencing the life that we have in Christ. That's why. The reason we have the indwelling Holy Spirit is so that we right now, right here, right today, can experience this life that we have in Christ. Look with me a little bit further ahead in this same chapter. Watch this. Actually, go back to chapter number 8 at verse... what's the verse I'm looking for? Look at verse 6. Go back to 8:6. 8 verse 6. It says this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what and what? Okay, now I know we talked about that 2 weeks ago, but when you trusted Christ for your salvation, you got life right then and there, right? And did you get peace right then and there? That split second. The moment we trusted Christ for salvation, that instant we received eternal life as a free gift. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. So the moment you became a Christian, the moment you trusted Christ for your salvation, God gave you His life, and God said, as far as He's concerned towards you, there's peace forever. Everybody with me so far? Question. Do we as believers always enjoy that life that we have in Christ? Do we always experience that life? Do we always rejoice and rest in the peace that we have in Christ? Yes or no? Any of y'all ever struggle in the Christian life? Anybody ever experience the battle of the flesh, you know? People talk about the battle of the bulge and so forth. How about the battle of the flesh, you know? You can take vitamins for the battle of the bulge. How about the battle of the flesh? Kind of a thing. How about that? Listen, if you've, as a believer, if you've ever struggled with living the Christian life, that's why Romans 8 is so vital, so critical here, because he's telling us how the Christian life is designed to work. And what he's going to do in chapter number 8, he's going to tell us, if you look at that verse again, look at verse 6, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And beginning at verse 9, all the way down to verse 17, he's going to talk about the life part. And then at verse 18 to the end of the chapter, he's going to talk about the peace. How to experience that life that I already have. How to experience that peace that I already have with God. See that there? When he says, look again at verse 8, at verse 12 now, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. But what kind of death is that? Is that eternal death? Is that losing your salvation? It cannot be. It has to be a different kind of a death. In fact, it's the death of Romans 7. We've already studied Romans 7. It is that Christian life, just in a sense, being turned off. Not depending upon who we are in Christ. To live after the flesh is to depend upon the flesh. It is to die. It's to say the life that I have in Christ, I don't need it and it doesn't operate in me. Look at that verse. It says, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Again, understand, the death in that verse is not eternal death. It's not losing your salvation. It's not being kicked out of the family of God. It's the death of the Christian experience. It is abandoning the need, the dependency on the life that I have in Christ. Everybody see that there? It's saying, yes, I have that life, but I don't need it. Instead, I'll go depend on my flesh to live the Christian life. He says, therefore, brethren, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, now here's what I want you to underline or mark or highlight in your Bible right now, right there. If ye what? Through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, that's an amazing verse right there. Just think about that. Watch this. It's almost a riddle. Watch this. I'm going to kind of break the verse up a little bit here. Watch this. Okay? If ye live, ye shall die. That's the first part of the verse. Second part of the verse, if ye mortify, what's mortify mean? To kill it, to put to death, right? If ye die, ye shall live. Wait a minute. You see that in the verse? Look at the verse again. Look at the first part of the verse, verse 13. For if ye live, okay, skip the next three words, ye shall die. Next phrase, if ye, skip the next phrase, mortify, skip the phrase, make up your mind, Paul. Am I supposed to be living? If I do, I die. Am I supposed to be dying? If so, I'm living. Paul, would you make up your mind? That's a riddle, isn't it? See, I left something out, didn't I? Yeah. What I left out was, if you live after the flesh, that's self. That's trusting in self. My works, my performance, what I can do, how I can serve, how I can impress God. God, look at all these wonderful things that I can do for you to make heaven a better place when I get there. If you live after the flesh, if we live, if we tap into the life source of depending on the flesh, then my Christian experience, it's just going to rot. It's just, why? Not because I lose eternal life, not because I lose eternal life, but because I just don't have any dependency on Christ. Instead, if I mortify, if I make a conscious choice to put to death dependency on self, and I, through the Spirit, I guess I better spell that right, if I mortify through the Spirit the deeds of the flesh, that's how I experience that life that I already have in Christ. That verse is such a key verse right there. It's so vital. And it gets to the heart of how the Christian life works. Let me have you look at a couple of parallel passages, if you would. Go with me to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. Here's how this works, and here's what it will look like. This is just an example. Look over to Colossians 3. Now look at Colossians chapter number 3. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have you hold Colossians 3 and go to Galatians. Go to Galatians 5. We're going to look at the one in Galatians first, then we're going to come back to Colossians, okay? So go to Galatians chapter 5. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Okay, Galatians 5, 25 says this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's your identity and your practice. If the realm in which we live is in the Spirit, and that is where we live, life in Christ, okay? If that's a statement of my position, my identity, which it is, if we live in the Spirit, life in Christ, if that's where I live, if that's my identity, that's my position now, I'm out of Adam and I'm in Christ, and life is in Christ, well then, if we live in the Spirit, then maybe that's where we should walk. See that? If God, the moment we trusted Christ, He put us into Christ, He gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, one of the main reasons is so that we can have that life that's in Christ, well then let's live there instead of living over here. Instead of living in dependency on our flesh, let's live in dependency on the Spirit of God, since that's where we live anyway. Watch how this manifests itself. Watch this. Watch what this looks like. Watch how it happens. Look at Colossians 3 now. Watch this. Colossians 3. Watch this. Verse 5. Verse 5. What's the very first word? Then that's back to Romans 8, right? Mortify the deeds of the flesh. So here he says this. To mortify means to put to death, right? It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he's going to give us a list here in case you don't know what they are. And everybody does know what they are, okay? He says, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. That's an interesting word. You see the word cupid in there, don't you? Concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In which ye also walked in them, when ye lived in them, But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man which with his deeds. Okay, why does Paul give us a list of deeds here? After all, hasn't the Apostle Paul again and again and again said we're not under the law? God isn't giving us the standard of performance. So why then does he list these things? What's that? Yes, because you know what they are, identification. So if we see these things, then it's a simple way of saying, well, that's the result of the flesh. That's a dependency on the flesh. So I objectively, not emotionally, but objectively can look at that and say, well, okay, if I'm doing that, it just means that I'm living after the flesh. I'm depending on my flesh. It's producing that. So experientially, I'm abandoning the very reason that I have life in Christ. So instead he says, let's just mortify that. Put that stuff to the death. Put it to death. Just mortify it. Make a different decision. How does that happen? Verse 9. Middle of the verse, put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore. Ah, here we go. Now, this dependency on the Spirit of God. I'm going to put this on. I'm going to put that off, and I'm going to put this on. Dependency on the Spirit of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, because that's who you are. What's the next word there? That's who you are. Do you realize that when you trusted Christ, you are now holy and without blame in His sight? When's the last time you thought of yourself that way? Isn't that amazing? That verse says, holy and what's the next word there? Not only are you holy, but you're beloved. That word beloved, that's an interesting word. There's two words in that word. What are the two words? Be loved. You are loved with the exact same love that God the Father has towards the Son. That's how loved you are. You are seen by God the Father the exact same way the Father sees the Son. That's how holy you are. Not because of self-performance or being worthy. We're not worthy of any of this. It's all given to us freely when we trust in Christ. That verse says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. See how it'll produce a humbleness of mind, not a proud. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. All of these things that Paul lists are the result of a manifestation of how God has dealt with us in Christ. A forgiving spirit, a kind heart, a tender-hearted one to another. He goes on to say, if you look at verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See, there's a choice in all this. Back in Romans 8, he said to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Right here, you can see the life and peace. Let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. See that there? So Romans 8 is teaching us and telling us, it's instructing us as to how this life that we have in Christ already and this peace that we have with God already, how that we as believers can experience it in our lives on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time that we can look into Your Word this morning. And God, each of us here, we know and understand that we need these truths. We need these things to function in us. And God, we need the insight and wisdom that it takes to understand this. And God, fundamentally, we need to remember that just like getting saved in the first place was coming to depend upon the finished work of Christ, so too now living this Christian life is a life to be lived in dependency on the life and the peace that we already have in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to do